This is Ashoka Changemakers, brought to you by the Innovate Podcast in collaboration with Ashoka and Arch Street Press. Here's your host, Robert Rim.
Today's Innovate Podcast couldn't be more relevant to America's ongoing public discussion on elections, voters' rights, and the protection of data in the digital age. Our guest is Catherine Peters, co-founder and chief operating officer of Democracy Works, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization dedicated to changing the way in which Americans approach the voting process. Their vision is both straightforward and ambitious: to make voting a clear and seamless experience for all Americans so that no one misses an election. And they've succeeded. Since 2012, they've signed up more than 6 million voters with the help of strategic partnerships with higher education institutions, election officials, and both corporate and nonprofit organizations. Catherine's belief in the key tenets of democracy has taken her from campaign organizing in rural Missouri to a master's in public policy at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government, to political rights monitoring in Afghanistan. She's also worked for the information management team at the United Nations Department of Safety and Security and the National Democratic Institute's Information and Communications Technology staff. In 2011, she was honored as one of Forbes magazine's 30 Under 30 in the field of law and policy. Catherine, welcome to Innovate Podcast.
Thanks so much. I'm really excited to be here today.
Tell us a bit about your background, how it helped to shape your perspectives and prepare you for the work you do with Democracy Works.
Absolutely. I grew up in Columbia, Missouri. I'm from a family where both of my parents are medical professionals, but have been lifelong voters, and where we often discussed local issues and local politics and what was happening in the world at our dinner table. So in school, I specialized in languages and went off to college and thought what I wanted to do was be a diplomat. And what I wanted to do was go think about how to build better democratic systems in other countries. Instead, while I was working on my master's degree, just around the time that I went and spent a summer watching the parliamentary campaigns in Afghanistan in 2010, my classmate Seth Flaxman came to me and said, "I've missed several elections because I didn't know they were happening or I ran into process reasons, and I would like to build an election reminder system that means that I will never miss one again." And my first answer to him was, "That has to exist already." I pulled up an email sent to me by the Boone County, Missouri clerk about an upcoming election, because I was still an absentee voter back home while I was in graduate school. And his response was to say, I don't get things like that from my clerk. I think yours might be really very good, and this might not be the normal standard of voter information and outreach." And so I agreed to sit down and work with him on that and to research a little bit whether that was the case. And I found out that Wendy Noren, Boone County clerk for 34 years before her retirement, had in fact built a really exceptional system of running elections that I had benefited from without ever knowing it. And so then my second response to Seth was, "It can't be that hard to build it." And 8.5 years later, I sometimes regret those famous last words, but I've spent the time really trying to put that vision into place, and I've really loved getting to do so, even though it's taken me back to working at home instead of traveling the world in the ways that I might have expected.
And what was it like co-founding an organization like Democracy Works and some of the challenges that you initially faced?
I don't have a lot to compare it to. It's a puzzle. It is a puzzle that is always changing. It never gets dull. At first, you have to build the very most basic site. How do we help make it so that people can register to vote? What tools are there? What rules do we need to know? And at some point, then you're thinking about the additional complexities. Can we add early voting information? Can we add more support for voters? Can we think about polling places? And you begin to spin up new programs. And based on the problems that you had before, you're looking for the ways to resolve them at higher and higher levels. And so over the last 8.5 years, we've grown from, it was never just the two of us. We had several graduate student classmates who were there and were volunteering their time and helping us plan this and put it together. We had an early software developer who helped us build the prototype. But it went from something that was a very small team. Even in 2012, we were 7 people on staff going through that presidential election cycle, to a fairly large one. We are now just over 40 employees. And at every step, the question is always, what's next?
Which is a great perspective. And in talking about those tools and programs, better democracy is a crucially important concept. What does it stand for?
For me, a better democracy is one where voters feel heard. Right now, I think many people don't participate because they don't understand well if taking part has an effect. It's difficult to see what the benefit is of figuring out how to register, of learning what's on the ballot, of going through these process hoops. And so we work to make the process simpler. We also work to make the process feel more welcoming so that people are invited in. But at its simplest, a better democracy is one where we all take part and one where we all understand the system and feel like it's working for us.
And part of that involves the tools that you enable voters with. Democracy Works has really achieved an unprecedented scale in the civic technology ecosystem. So tell us about those tools for voters and how you really educate them along those lines.
Absolutely. Our very first tool was TurboVote. You can find it at turbovote.org. You can sign up and give us your name, your contact information, and your address, and we'll be able to send you election reminders so that you know not only about the midterm on November 6th, but also about the school board race next April or the county hospital trustee seat the following August. On TurboVote, you can also register to vote or update a voter registration. We'll help get you to your state's online voter registration site or give you the necessary form. We'll help you request an absentee ballot if your state allows anyone to vote by mail and you would like to do so, or we'll help you know what reasons you have to give in a state that is an excuse-only absentee. We'll then send reminders so that you can keep your registration up to date if you've moved and would have otherwise forgotten. We'll send you those reminders so that you can request an absentee ballot for a future election when you're traveling and you realize that you would have otherwise missed it.
And in talking about your TurboVote app, tell us about Democracy Works' challenge to achieve 80% turnout by 2024 by developing this app. It's really quite an ambitious initiative. And what's your perspective on how it's achievable?
Getting to 80% will take all of us. We chose it as an achievable goal because we've done it in the past. We chose it because we've had elections with 80% turnout in American history, and it's a high watermark worth returning to. But we also chose it because it's ambitious and it requires organizations that don't necessarily think of themselves as civic really getting re-engaged with democracy in a nonpartisan but very hands-on kind of way. And so with the TurboVote Challenge, we're already bringing together corporations. We work with Google and Facebook and Snapchat and Spotify, but we also work with not just big tech companies, Starbucks. And there's room for these organizations, for these companies, to remind their employees how much voting matters and to support them in having time off to vote and having holidays on election day and other initiatives. But it can't just be companies even. We also work with large nonprofits and small ones, groups that care a great deal about issues in their communities or in the country. We work with colleges and universities. That program, because any given campus is smaller than, say, the user base of Facebook, may be less visible in our work now, but they're the foundation of what we do. We work with over 100 colleges and universities to integrate civic engagement into the education that they provide their students. And many of these schools now do voter registration as a core element of class registration. So you're 18 and you're arriving at school and you're setting up your plans for the next year. What are you going to learn? Who are you going to study with? And one of the messages coming from your school is you should also register to vote and be ready to be an active member of this community.
And now, a word from Arch Street Press. In its review, the Philadelphia Social Innovations Journal had this to say about Gendership 1.0, Beyond Leadership Toward Liberating the Creative Soul. David Castro's book does something courageous that we haven't seen before in this genre. He questions the very concept of leadership itself, thinking through its limitations. He meditates on specific and interrelated organizational practices central to creativity within groups. Listening, co-thinking, co-visioning, relationships, conflict and learning, systems thinking, creativity, and group dynamics. Castro invites us to think about ways this community practice of creativity is central to human progress and even to human identity. And now back to Catherine and Robert.
Democracy Works' mission, which is so crucial, is to help every American vote in every election, local, state, and national. What are some of the reasons why so many, in fact, don't vote when there's so much at stake?
The U.S. Census polls non-voters after every federal election cycle and asks them this question. And typically what you hear is that some number of people won't answer the question. About a quarter will say something to the effect of, because I didn't think it would matter, or there wasn't a candidate that I liked, or the system just isn't for me. Typically, a little over half to about 60% answer with process reasons. They missed a deadline to update their registration. They had a work shift that didn't allow them to get to the polls. They had last minute travel. A significant amount of our work really focuses on that 60%. Where can we take the process and smooth it? Where can we remove obstacles that keep people from participating? And that's also where we work closely with election administrators on their side, as they're the ones running elections. Where can we help them serve their voters? Where can we help them build smoother processes and have the tools that they need to meet voters where they are? And that's another really important piece of our work at Democracy Works.
And in talking about that, in improving the voting experience for voters and election officials alike, upgrade and infrastructure, such key aspects of what Democracy Works advocates. What are some of the central developments to improve the voting process itself?
Increasingly, people are voting by mail. It's a popular option. It's convenient. More states have made it available to any voter who chooses instead of absentee voters only. And it provides considerably more flexibility about when to vote and where you get to cast your ballot. The problem is that voters don't always feel like it's as trustworthy as going to the polls. Ballots can get lost in the mail and do. And so one of the tools that we build is Ballot Scout. It takes the mail tracking barcodes that the USPS already makes available, makes it really simple for election administrators to print them on their ballot envelopes, both going out to voters and returning to their office. And then in addition to tracking all of that through the postal system, we can set up a dashboard that allows an election office to monitor all those ballots and make sure that everything looks to be traveling as it should and that nothing has gone astray. And it allows voters to come look up their specific ballot and say, okay, it's going to be delivered to me today, or okay, it did make it back to the election office and is ready. And I think that's a really important way where we can increase trust and confidence in the system so that more people can vote by mail and do so happily rather than with any sort of worry about whether their vote was in fact received and counted.
And in talking about trust and confidence, privacy is paramount on multiple levels, really from everyone, from those who work online to actively use today's smartphones. So how does Democracy Works ensure that users' data is safe when they participate through your online app?
I take data privacy very seriously. And so Democracy Works has been a real user privacy advocate from the beginning since 2010. We are able to follow consistent security best practices for most tech organizations. We use HTTPS and secure connections for everything that's input to our site. We thought very carefully about the design of our services and what information we wanted to collect. So we don't ever take someone's ID number. It is simply better to let the voter write that in on the form in their own handwriting than for us to be handling their social security or their driver's license numbers. And we take a really careful review of all of the tools that we build and their unique risk profiles and build to make sure that we're safeguarding the data that people do provide to us and treating it responsibly so that we can provide election reminders without exposing anyone to undue risk of having their information exposed.
And now, a word from Arch Street Press. Better to Speak of It: Fostering Relationships and Results Through Creativity is a book of core management and personal values written in collaboration with Clive Gillinson, Executive and Artistic Director of Carnegie Hall, offering firsthand experiences from Gillinson and the leaders of key nonprofit, corporate, educational, and cultural institutions, including the New York City Department of Education, Museum of Modern Art, New York Public Library, and Juilliard, and major performing artists such as Joyce D. Donato, Anne Sophie Mutter, Jesse Norman, and Michael Tilson Thomas. The book appeals to readers, including nonprofit directors and managers, corporate executives and employees, arts administration staff and students, and the public interested in the health and well-being of the arts. exploring the vital benefits of innovation and organizational management, serving others and effective partnerships, access and mentoring, budgeting and well-considered risk, media and effective communications, education, and lifelong learning. And now back to Catherine and Robert.
Democracy Works is also the organizational home of the National Association of State Election Directors, the professional organization that represents the officials in each state and territory that actually run elections. So you provide support for them to build new tools, to share technology and ideas, to help in serving others. It's so important to work directly with these election officials, isn't it?
Yes. It's popular when talking about new technologies coming in to discuss how they disrupt existing systems. And when you're working with existing systems that are government, that's not the model. It can't work that way. I can't decide that elections should be run differently and so start setting up competing polling places. And so really coming to understand election officials, the way that they approach the work, how they see and understand their service to voters is really important to being able to collaborate rather than compete or disrupt as they're working to run elections.
And you probably see such gratitude from them, don't you? Or maybe I'm being presumptuous.
No, what I think I would say there is I wouldn't want to say that. I would say that I am deeply grateful to them. Election officials have exceptionally hard jobs. They have high stakes. All of the work that you spend much of the year doing comes in on a single day. The joking prayer is, please don't let it be close, which I think is also somewhat unfair because I think election officials spend a significant amount of time preparing for elections that are close and preparing for negative outcomes. And so I would say that when we decided that we wanted to start working with election officials, we went and we toured and we spent a full week with a small research team in each of six local election offices in fairly different contexts around the country. I got to go home to Boone County. I got to watch Wendy Noren and her team. She's since retired, but her office actually is all still there. Our is still the election director for the county and has been in his job now for something like 34 years as well. And watch how they mapped precincts and had them show us things like the storeroom where the equipment is all kept and how their process for taking in a registration form works. Election officials have at every turn been really open with educating us about their systems and where their pain points are and how they're working to serve voters and what problems they have. And so it would be very easy to look at an outside technical organization or a nonprofit coming in and suggesting that they want to improve voting and worry at their motives, or it would be very easy to feel like they are coming in and suggesting that they know how to do their job better than you. And so I would say I am really grateful to the education that election officials have provided us. I'm really grateful for the partnerships we've been able to build there, and I'm honored that we get to contribute to that work and to help have some small role in shaping how elections can happen.
That's a terrific perspective, Catherine. And let's talk about your own team, which is really quite diverse in terms of experience. It's made up of, quoting here, software developers, public policy wonks, and civic organizers building the tools needed to upgrade the infrastructure of democracy. So it sounds like a team that's specially equipped and passionate to carry out Democracy Works mission.
Absolutely. I think I've said this already, but getting to 80%, getting to a vibrant democracy really does take everyone. And there's room for people who know how to build software, but there's also got to be room for people who know what that software needs to do. And people who understand all of the different reasons why someone might not vote and can help speak directly to all of the different populations that we want to serve and all of the different people we want to bring in as voters.
And in bringing in these people and serving these populations, it brings to mind the current political environment, which is just, well, there are many adjectives to describe the current political environment. So do you see this as an impetus to increase turnout in, say, 2018 and 2020?
I would love to see turnout be increasing in 2018 and 2020. We certainly won't mysteriously reach 80% by 2024 without improvements along the way. I think competitive races and candidates who are really genuinely exciting are certainly playing into a 2018 year that that could set records. And I think we're seeing a lot of enthusiasm from voters across the board. I know that we're seeing record engagement with TurboVote. We served our 5 millionth voter for 2018 this week. For comparison, in 2016, we reached 1 million voters. So I'm really excited to see how all that plays out. And I'm seeing it across a huge range of populations and a lot of people. And I wouldn't say that it's limited to any one particular group. And that's the kind of engagement that I get really excited about.
And these are quite significant milestones. And then as you move forward, Catherine, what are some of the challenges that you see down the road that Democracy Works is really rather uniquely positioned and fit to take on?
I think that at each moment, the challenges will change. I think that at 80% turnout, we start to move from challenges of how do we reach voters? How do we find them where they are? How do we bring them in and make them feel welcome in voting? And then you're looking at that election administration side, and it is how are we ready for that influx of voters? And what new processes need to be in place so that they have a good experience at the polls and that the systems that we have continue to serve when we've increase the number of people using them by so much. And so while we're trying to think very hard, especially with like the TurboVote Challenge, about how to bring more people in and how to reach them, we are also, through our relationships with election administrators and with the beginnings of our election technology collaborative, trying to answer that question of, can we make sure that we're ready for them when they come?
And reaching voters, making them feel welcome, being ready, in fact. Well, on that note, listeners can find out more about Democracy Works online at democracy.works. Good to talk with you, Catherine, and all the best to you and your team in working to get to a better democracy with the help of Democracy Works efforts.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today. Our library of interviews and a range of further resources are available at our website, innovatepodcast.org. Innovate is produced in partnership with Ashoka, Innovators for the Public, the Kellogg Fellows Leadership Alliance, the Philadelphia Social Innovations Journal, and by Arch Street Press. For PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, this has been Innovate.